Turn to Joshua chapter 6, and we're going to go through the whole chapter. Joshua chapter 6, the destruction of Jericho. Now, Jericho was securely shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, its mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And then the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of rams and horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets, and it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." And then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, "Take up the ark of the covenant. Let the seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord." And he said to the people, "Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord." And so it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram horns before the Lord advanced, blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant followed them. The armed men went around the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came up after the ark while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout." And so he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. And then they came and they camped and they lodged in the camp. And I'm going to stop there. Remember, as we've been going through the book of Joshua, the first 5 chapters was all about how the Lord was preparing the people of Israel going into the land and how they were going to engage the enemy. The Lord had some things that He wanted to do in the people of Israel before they ever engaged the enemy. Chapter 1 was all about Joshua, the new leader, being encouraged. And you can read through there and you can see how the Lord encouraged Joshua for the task at hand. Chapter 2 was bigger than just a recon mission. It was also about a family that is shut up in Jericho who is ready for a new season in life too. And that was Rahab. Chapter 3 was chapter 3 about? Does anybody know? Exactly. Looking at the river, the Jordan at flood stage. Remember, during this whole time in these first five chapters, they've been there's a time of waiting. And what are they looking? They looked at the Jordan at flood stage. And what did we learn from that? You have to get your feet wet. Because remember, the thing that we're learning as we're looking at the people of Israel going into the promised land is we're really looking what it looks like for a believer journeying with the Lord in the here and now, taking steps of faith. They had to get their feet wet. Chapter 4 was all about the memorial stones at Gilgal, because after they went through and after they go through the Jordan at flood stage, God says, "I want you to mark the time. I want you to get 12 guys, 12 leaders from the 12 tribes, get 12 stones from the river and set up this memorial at Gilgal. Joshua, I want you to get 12 stones and set up those 12 stones in the river." Okay? And what we saw there was the people of Israel at Gilgal, they would have a place, because this was going to be kind of their base camp as they're going to go in and take their inheritance in the land. They would come back and they would remember what God did. He got us here. And then when there was drought or there was a season of drought and the river would get down, and the kids would say, "Hey, what's those stones doing in there?" Well, that's how we got across. The Lord dried it up. Just like He did for our moms and dads at the Red Sea when they came out of Egypt. God put us here. And then chapter 5, we saw that the Lord wanted to do 3 works at Gilgal. And we already talked about one, which was the memorial stone. The second one was this radical step of obedience. Because remember, now the people of Israel are in enemy territory. And this is what God says to do as they're just on the plains of Jericho, right there in enemy territory. He says, "I want you to circumcise all the men." That's what you're going to have to do. Dumb plan. dumb plan. Because here's what happens. They're in enemy territory and they incapacitated all their fighting men. Looks like an incredibly stupid plan, but here's the thing. The Lord wanted the people of Israel to remember whose they are. You're God's people. You're God's covenant people. Because you remember all the way back in Genesis chapter 17, when the Lord instituted circumcision, it was all about the covenant. It was all, you are my covenant people. This land was promised to you. It's your land. Not only that, something else took place within there. It was they needed to remember that they're a redeemed people. Because they also celebrated the Passover in enemy territory. Okay? And then we finished last week with, as everybody's healing and as everything's going, Joshua, who is the leader of the people of Israel, is walking up to Jericho and checking the situation out. And he sees this guy approaching him. He pulls his sword out and he asks a question, "Are you for us?" And the guy says, "No, I'm the commander of the Lord's army." And the one thing that we took away from it, of course, this is Jesus showing up. Okay, and he shows up all through the Old Testament. Fancy word, Christophany or whatever, okay, that's the fancy word for it. But anyway, here's what we took from it. In our prayer life, are we kind of like Joshua? Are you for us? See, that's the wrong question to be asking. The question we need to be asking, are we on your page? Are we on your page? Because remember, as we look at the people of Israel, we're seeing pictures of the Christian life. You know, who are we? Whose are we? We're the Lord's people. Because why? We're a redeemed people because of the lamb that was slain. And we've been ushered into all these wonderful promises. And because of Jesus Christ's work on the cross, guess what? He can show up commander-in-chief and pull rank anytime he wants to. And so many times, we're praying the wrong way, I think. God, I want this, and can you do this, and will you do this? Instead of saying, am I where I need to be, Lord? Am I doing what you're wanting to do? You're the commander, and you're the chief. So the first five chapters was all about preparation. Now we're entering a new section of Scripture, and the new section of Scripture is these guys are getting ready to engage the enemy. Okay, God's been preparing the people of Israel for the battles that lie ahead. Now it's time to engage the enemy. The conquest of Canaan will be accomplished in three military campaigns. The central, the southern, and the northern. The central campaign is what we're going to be looking at in chapter 6 through 8. Is going to deal with Jericho and essentially just Ai. Now why is God doing this? Because you got to understand something. If once they take out Jericho, That opens up all the promised land for them to operate and for them to move. It's very strategic military plan by the Lord. And of course, the Lord always comes up with the best plan. Okay, that's what we forget. He always comes up with the best plan. But I want to ask you a question. When you're on a project or you're doing work, do you take care of the easy stuff first or the hard stuff? What do you do? I think it depends on the person. If you're doing a production-type situation, okay, to feel like you accomplished something, do you do the small quantity first or the big one first and then work on the small one? What do you normally do? You tackle the hard task first or the easy task? What do you do, Steve? Just go after it? Just do it? You don't do that. Because you want to feel like you accomplished something, and it's easier, right? Right? The more you feel like you've done. And a lot of times, I know for me, because I was involved in production for 20 years, a lot of times I found if I tackled the hard task first, it seems like, man, I just wouldn't have any energy to take care of the smaller task, and it seemed like it was just like pulling teeth to take care of the smaller task. It only take a few minutes, okay? God's going to have the people of Israel do the hard thing first, okay? You got to take out Jericho first, all right? Now remember, as we are going through the book of Joshua, Canaan is not a picture of heaven. Heaven There are no battles. It's done. Canaan is a picture of what life is like for the believer now. And what's life like for the believer now? Claiming territory by following our Lord Jesus Christ, our Joshua, into all that He has for us. But that requires us to take steps of faith. Okay? And that's what we're looking at. So let's look at this. And I pray. Who's all familiar with the walls of Jericho falling down? Okay, see, there's some of these stories that are just real familiar. All right? And they're so familiar, I think sometimes we glaze over or we zone out. But man, let's look at this and say, Lord, where am I at in this thing? Okay? What are you asking me to do? What may be my Jericho? Because really the central picture when you think of Jericho is these huge walls, right? And how many times in our walk with the Lord do we feel like we come up against these huge walls? So see, this is very applicable for us. So here's what happens. Verses 1 through 5. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've given Jericho into your hand, its king, its mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all your men of war. You shall go around the city once, and you shall do this 6 days. Seven priests shall bear the trumpets of the ram's horn before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, and every man straight before the Lord." Here's the commander's chief plan. Jericho securely shut up. Okay, securely shut up. No one can get in. No one can get out. Now, what are they really preparing for if you think about warfare during that time? They're thinking about some type of siege. Okay, that's what they're thinking. They've been watching this situation. They've seen them out there. Hey, it looks like they're celebrating out there. It looks like they're eating. Okay, what are they doing laying around? What's going on out there? Okay, they're probably going to do what at this point? They're going to build some ramparts. They're going to put together some catapults. What are they going to do? They're going to try to cut off all of our supplies. They're shut in because of the people of Israel. See, God's got a different kind of plan. He's got a remarkable plan. He's got a plan that's out of this world. And also understand this one thing. Do you see what the Lord told Joshua? He said, see, I've given them into your hand. Before they ever march around, it's over. It's done. It's finished. The king, their mighty men of valor, it's game over. Question, how many times do we live our life in Christ with that type of heart? It's over. It's done. It's past tense. I've given Jericho into your hand. All Israel will have to do is go forward with the battle plan God will give them. Now, Jericho is not a very large city. I want us to understand that. It roughly covers, historians believe, about 7 acres, but it had some huge walls. But it's an informable city, right? If Israel can defeat Jericho, do you understand what an incredible faith builder this is for them? Tackling the hard tasks first. Doing this thing first. Instead of, let's go around Israel and let's go take out little Ai. Now that's going to be a whole other story. All right? God says, no, let's take out Jericho. We once again see the wisdom of God. God is going to use Jericho as a faith-building exercise for Israel going forward into the land. Guys, let's not forget what's true of Israel is true for us. And I want us to understand this. The battle's already won. All right? It's a done deal. Stop looking in the past. Stop looking at maybe the mistakes that have been made today. Go to Calvary, go to the place, go and return back to Jesus and do what Jesus says do. You know, come to me, ask my forgiveness. I'll clean you up, right? Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 9 says this, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Battle's done. It's won. You know, Jesus, after He gives, you know, He gives His mom to John, He says what? He says, "It's finished." In the Greek, it's telestai, debt paid in full. It's done. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. Now, here's just another practical. I mean, salvation, yeah, it's a done deal. We're God's kid, it's a done deal. But just what about the big wall that's going on in our life? Are we too busy? Okay, I need to build the rampart. Where's my materials for the rampart? Okay, let's do a siege. Let's do a catapult. Let's do a battering ram on this thing. Okay? Why not just the simplicity of, you're the commander in chief. You have the plan. What do you want to do in these circumstances? How am I to operate in these circumstances? I think sometimes we spend way too much time wiggling and formulating instead of resting and asking. God knows what He wants to do. I'm just going to trust Him in what He wants to do. See, you can't have faith and obedience go together. If God says, "This is what I'm asking you to do," well, then you have to go forward with what He asks you to do. Maybe, and we already know the end of the story, the walls are going to come down. It's a finished deal. It's not a spoiler alert. God's already said it. I've given them into your hands, right? Maybe those walls or those things that are so big that you know, the old song, you can't go around it, you can't go over it, you got to go through it. Maybe we would just get through these things if we would do just the most simple thing and just ask the Lord, "Okay, what do you want to do?" Because I've wore myself out on building my catapults and my battling rams and my ramparts. I'm wore out on this, Lord. What do you want to do, Jesus? Here's the battle plan. You shall march around the city. Notice the plan did not consist of building everything I just mentioned. It was all about total dependence on God. It required great faith from Joshua because he has to explain this. Okay, I mean, you see, this is God's brilliance. Okay, this is His brilliance. Joshua is taking over for a legend. This is Moses. Okay, Moses. God has been doing incredible works in Joshua all these five chapters. And so when we get to Jericho and we get to the battle plan, here's what you're going to do, Joshua. You're going to march around the thing. And you're going to blow trumpets. And then on the last day, you're going to tell everybody to yell. Really? Really? And then you mean it's just going to fall down? Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Okay, Moses didn't do it this way. Are you sure? You see what God has given Joshua at this point in time some money in the bank. Okay, He's given him some money in the bank. Why? Jordan parted at flood stage. Because Joshua said, "This is what God's called us to do." They've been hanging out in the plains of Jericho, healing, celebrating the Passover, and no one's come out and attacked them. Because that's what God said to do. Now here's the battle plan. Priest, this is what you're going to do. We're going to get some guys doing the trumpet thing. We're going to get that, and then we're going to walk around. You see what great faith and dependence upon God this requires? Because essentially these guys are doing what? Really a whole lot of nothing but walking. That's one thing that they're good at, by the way, is walking. Because that's what they've been doing for a long time, walking. And you know, I think sometimes we forget, you know, the Lord, and I'm learning this. The Lord doesn't ask us to do these hard, complicated things. He asks us to do one very simple thing. Just trust me and do what I ask you to do, even if it looks like a total dumb plan. Okay, dumb plan. So Joshua, the son of Nun, he calls the priest in verse 6. And the priests are involved in this battle, and they'll lead the way. They'll take up the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark will be the focus in this victory, just like the Ark was the focus in crossing the Jordan River at flood stage. Israel had to keep their hearts and minds on who? The Lord God, right? Who was present with them and leading the way. Instead of focusing on what? The big walls. God wants them to focus on Himself. Guys, instead of focusing on the walls we may think we have in our lives, let's just take Paul's advice and focus on Jesus. I love Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Does Fox News give us these things? Now, we had a certain address last night. Did that give us these things? Who watched it, by the way? I couldn't. I won't. I won't watch it. I won't watch it. These things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the peace of God will be with you. Okay? Focus. Focus on the Lord, not the walls. And then he said to the people in verse 7, the people are involved in following God, which meant following Him into battle, taking steps of faith, not steps of reason. Faith. Now, I want us to understand, and once again, you know, biblical faith is not that, okay, I'm just going to jump out there and do whatever I'm going to do, and God's going to take care of the bill. No, faith is spending time with the Lord, seeking the Lord, and then when the Lord says, this is what we're going to do, it's going forward with the Lord. Okay? That's what it is. It's simple. It's God talking to His kid and saying, trust me. Would you just do this thing? You know, Morgan and I especially, it's hard to believe we've been here now almost 7 years. Golly, Mom. Just hard to even wrap my head around. And I just, you know, you think sometimes about, wow, that was really kind of dumb, thinking you're just going to move here and you're going to start a Bible study in your house. And I mean, knowing what I know now, I wouldn't have done it. Seriously, because it is like, there's no way it's going to work. I don't know why you guys keep coming here anyway. I mean, you see what I'm saying? I'm just like, oh, well, you keep coming here, you know. Why? Because, you know, God's doing it in the manner in which He wants it done. The manner in which He wants it done. And it's just taking those steps, those little steps, taking those little steps. It is so simple. I don't know about you, but most of the time I just miss it. You know, we talked about when they went across, you know, across the Jordan at flood stage, and God said, set up some memorials, you know. It is so very important to take stock and to remember God's past faithfulness, because really it is evidence of His future faithfulness, because He's always going to be faithful. And if we've ever really, you know, faith is a muscle. You gotta use it. You gotta use it. And we miss out so many times because we look at what, when God speaks to us, we know that we know He spoke to us. And we know what we need to do. When we don't do it, you know what happens? It's not that we miss the opportunity, I found. What we miss out on is seeing God work and seeing Him move in such a wonderful, incredible way. But you know what? He ends up working anyway, even in spite of us. So praise God for that. The march of the first 6 days, verses 8 through 14. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpet horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and they followed Him. The armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets. The rear guard came after the ark while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice. I would have to leave Abigail at home. Nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout. And so he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. And then they came into the camp and they lodged in the camp. Now just think, this would be kind of nerve-wracking. Now this is a lot of people. Okay? And so they're walking around the city and they're blowing. Have you ever heard a horn? I mean, do you like it when someone honks their horn at you? That's automatically annoying. And so they're blowing these things and blowing these things, and the people are not saying nothing. They're just, they're carrying this thing. They're carrying that thing that's what they're doing. How unnerving was it for the people of Israel? Because what is part of the strategy if someone's next to your wall to do? They would throw what? Throw stuff on them. They're not even doing that. You see the amount of faith that is required in what God's asked these guys to do? It's really crazy when you think about it. And then Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And then the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of rams of horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rear came after the ark of the Lord. The rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did this for 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. And on that day only they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time it happened when the priest blew the trumpet, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, and it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. And you by all means abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels and bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." Now, there's just some things that we're going to look at as I just read through there to kind of pick through this thing. When Joshua spoke to the people, the time of waiting is over. It's time to go forward. And moving forward is moving forward with God's battle plan. So the ark of the Lord circled the city going around it. Listen to what one scholar said and how these steps of faith would grow Israel to trust the Lord. They did this for 6 days. Okay? 6 days. Now, I think the first time was kind of freaky. I don't know about you. When you do something for the first time that you've never done before and you really kind of get out of your comfort zone a little bit, it kind of freaks you out a little bit. Second day might have been, okay, this is... Third day, oh, okay. Fourth day, wow, the Lord's... Fifth day, wow, the Lord's just taking care of us. Sixth day, wow, okay. Look at these guys. They're not doing anything. What a way to get these guys to trust. It took courage for Israel to do this. Israel was wide open to attack during this time. It had been easy for the people of Jericho to attack them from their high position. It took endurance to do this, and it also took helplessness. In other words, we're going to rely on the Lord. We're putting ourselves in a vulnerable situation where all could be lost. These are steps of faith. These are not steps of reason. Verse 15 through 16, the march on the seventh day would be the day of victory. And we'll see this in a moment. The command was given to the people to shout after days of silence. The Lord will keep His word. The Lord has given you to the city. I mean, think about that. I don't know what that shout was like. I don't know what it was like for these guys to be quiet for that amount of time. That took also, if you think about it, that took a lot of discipline on the people of Israel's part. Because there's always one cat in the crowd. Always one. Always one goofball. Always one. Always one. There's always one goofball, right? You know? That they just, yeah, I don't know. Okay, because, you know, you get in those moments sometimes where you're trying to be quiet and then you're trying to suppress a laugh. Because you're walking around, you know, and, it took a lot of discipline on their part. I think we forget sometimes that when we're walking with the Lord and we're taking steps of faith, it does require some discipline on our part. You know, it says when we, some of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, you know, listen, I think sometimes the one that's left off is when it mentions self-control. And then on that last day, everybody working in unison, and you get to scream. Okay? It's an incredible plan. It's an encouraging plan. Joshua will remind the people of some things that they will need to do also on this great victorious day God has given Israel. Now when the walls, okay, we're going to look at the walls coming down here in a minute. There's going to be some things we're going to need to kind of get. But I also want us to remember this as well. God in His mercy and in His wisdom. I want to ask you a question. Just kind of put yourself there for a minute, okay? I mean, these guys are a lot like us. They have emotions. They have fears. They have excitement about things. Okay, you've been walking around the city. You walk around the city for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, you're going to do this thing 7 times, and then Joshua finally says, shout, and this is not a spoiler alert. You know the walls are going to come down. Besides that, God already told Joshua, see, I've given them into your hand. I want to ask you a question. Okay? I want to ask you a question. How excited would you be? How excited would you be? I would be totally stoked. All right? God knows that. And God's going to remind Joshua to remind Israel, you're going to have some self-control. You're going to have to not do some things. He says, now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction. It and all who are in it, only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who were with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. And you, by all means, he says, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. There's always one in the bunch. We're going to get that next week. But all the silver, gold, and vessels, and bronze, and iron are consecrated to the Lord, and they shall keep it in the treasury of the Lord. First, God not only keeps His promise to Israel, the Lord has given it to your hand. He also keeps His promise to Rahab, who's placed saving faith in God. Only Rahab the harlot shall live and all of her family. Joshua makes sure Rahab is protected and all her family who is in her house. And this is such a beautiful picture of God's saving grace and His faithfulness to always keep His word. And I think we forget that. If we thumb through our Bible, has God always kept His word? He always keeps His word. I love Numbers 23:19. It's my life verse. God's not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. Has He said and will He not do? Or has He spoken and will He not make good? He keeps His word. Second thing was in verse 18 and 19. Amidst the victory to come, Joshua reminds the people of some things. He says, stay away from the accursed things. What Joshua means by accursed things is this, the idols and the things associated with pagan, demonic worship of the people of Canaan. There's severe judgment that's going to be brought against Jericho and all of Canaan because they were in the way of God's people, but who they worship. Understand something. All those ites. You know, I heard someone tell me that you know, this world is getting worse. No, this world's always been this way. Always. You look at all those folks that were in the they were some bad folks. The gods that they worshipped were bad. I mean, they're study. It's all sin has always affected this world. Okay, it's always been this way. It's always been bad. Now, granted, it's going to be really, really bad when the body of Christ is raptured out of here, and there's no longer a restrainer. It's going to be bad then. But let's get something straight, man. It's always been bad. These guys they worship demonic things. God says, stay away from that stuff. Don't mess with that stuff. Don't touch that stuff. Also, don't take the silver, gold, vessels of bronze and iron, and these are consecrated to the Lord. This is the Lord's. All the valuables belong to God. Jericho is the first fruits, in a way, in the city of Canaan. So the valuables are set apart in the treasury of the Lord. So God, in His wisdom and in His discernment, He knows exactly how we are. We'll get caught up in the moment. I think I would have got caught up in the moment. Rahab, forget her. Accursed things, that's kind of cool. Look at all this free stuff. Silver, gold, oh man, come on, get what you can get. Look what happened, the walls came down, man. Did he say we're going to a land of milk and honey and we're going to get, come on. No, God said stop. Rahab is one of our, she's put saving faith in me. Don't touch her. Okay, don't touch her. Those accursed things are really bad things. Don't mess with them. Stay away from them. Okay? You might think it'll look cute in your house. Don't touch it. The first of this plunder, I want you to understand, it's mine. It's the first fruits. Okay? I want to remind you of these things. But we get over. We realize there's one cat that, well, anyway, we'll see this in a minute. There's lessons to be learned here. Now let's look at the victory. The walls of Jericho come down. Verse 20 and 21. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet that the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, and then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. They took the city, they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man, woman, young, old, ox, sheep, donkey, with the edge of the sword. The walls come down and the city's destroyed. Verse 20, God planned work. The walls fell flat. One thing we need to consider is, did Israel really know how this was all going to work? I mean, they fell down flat, so I'm just going to just kind of take it as they fell down flat. Okay, they didn't crumble where you had to, I think you had to crawl over a bunch of, they fell down flat. Meaning they might not know how God was going to give them the city. All they knew, God said He was going to give them the city. Remember what faith is? Substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. They utterly destroyed all that was in the city. Why was Israel commanded to practice such a complete destruction? Because the greatest sins of the Canaanites, like I said, was who they worshipped. You remember Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9 through 14? When you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through fire, or one who practices witchcraft, soothsayer, interprets omens, or a sorcerer, one who conjures spells, a medium or a spiritualist, or one who calls on the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination, Lord. Because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord. For these nations which you will dispose, listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as you, the Lord your God, has appointed you for such. One last thing we need to remember about the battle is after the walls fell down, guess what? They just didn't sit there. They had to go forward and they had to go into the city, it says. God given the city to Israel, but Israel had to take it by being obedient, being persistent, and going forward. They were not just to stand there and look at the fact that the walls came down. The battle may be over, but there's still steps of faith to be walked out. Verse 22 through 25. But Joshua said to the men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Sorry, I was just sitting here thinking of the fact that the Scripture makes it known who Rahab was over and over again. Okay? But I want us to also understand something. The day that she was spared, it's a dawn of a new day in her life. She becomes some of God's people. Okay? And as we know in Scripture, we see Rahab in the New Testament and how she's mentioned over and over again. It says, bring out the woman and all she has and all you swore to her. Rahab and her household were saved. They coupled their faith in God, okay, with a willingness to put trust in Him. And here's something else to know. We've been looking at Israel's steps of faith, but what about Rahab and her family? They also took some big steps of faith because it was the wall of Jericho that fell, and the wall would have been the most dangerous place to live, right? Unless you knew God. Rahab's house was part of the wall. Joshua 2:15 told us that. Yet because she put her trust in God, guess what? She was in the safest place possible. And I think we need to just one little thought here. Just one little thought here. I know that when we look at some of the things that are going on in the country we live in, those things can be upsetting. Those things can also be rather fearful. But let's remember this. Let's remember ultimately who we've put our trust in. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And let's remember when we see things going awry and things are just bonkers. Let's remember whose we are. Let's remember maybe when we see everything else just kind of falling around us. Let's remember whose we are. Man, we're the bride of Christ. We're just sojourners here anyway. This is not our permanent residence. It's temporary. Our Lord could come back at any moment in time, or we could go home and be with the Lord at any moment in time. Saving faith, guys. The safest place for us to be, the safest place for us to be, is exactly where God's told us to be. He's got us. Don't worry about it. Put our trust in Him. Second, they burned the city and all that was in that fire, all with fire. Only the silver, gold, and the vessels of bronze and iron was saved, and Joshua spared Rahab the heart. One thing we need to note is we see the contrast between judgment and salvation here. All of Jericho heard about this God, but there was only one family in Jericho that put saving faith in this God, and that was Rahab. And God was faithful too. We read about her in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. We read about her in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. We read about her in James chapter 2, verse 25. Rahab is found in all these places. God's faithful. Verse 26 through 27, Joshua curses the man who would refortify Jericho. Then Joshua charged them at the same time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city, Jericho. He shall lay its foundations with its firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates. So the Lord was with Joshua, and Joshua's fame spread throughout the country. Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds the city. This was fulfilled in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 34, which says, in the days of Hillel of Bethel built Jericho, he laid its foundations with Abram, his firstborn, and with his youngest son, Segub. He set up its gates according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken, Joshua the son of Nun. God's faithful to keep his word. Okay. In closing, I know this is a very familiar story. It's one of those childhood stories that if you've ever been in a Sunday school class anywhere, you've heard it. But this is what I pray that maybe the Lord impressed upon our hearts. Let's be like the people of Israel and Rahab and her family. Let's don't focus on walls. Okay, let's don't focus on walls. Let's keep it simple and focus on the Lord. God gave Israel a battle plan that started with Him and it ended with Him. Listen to the heart behind this old Puritan prayer I read today. Glorious Jehovah, my covenant God, all thy promise in Christ are yea and amen, and I shall be and shall be fulfilled. Thou hast spoken them and thou shalt be done, commanded and they shall come to pass. Guys, we need to stop trying to figure out how these so-called walls in our life are going to come down and just focus on enjoying and seeking the Lord. Then we'll get to a place of trust in the Lord, and a place of trust in the Lord knows how He knows how to bring these walls down. And when those walls come down, we need to go forward just like Israel and Rahab and her family did. Israel goes forward into the city, okay, because God told them to. Now think about this. Rahab goes forward out of the city. And I think that is just as important. Rahab leaves that old life and becomes part of God's people and moves on. You know, I know I say this over and over and over again. But if we get this one thing right, really get it right, I think what we'll find in our life, things become less complicated. And it's something that we all know. And we hear it over and over again. We see it over and over again in Scripture. And it's just this, trust the Lord. That's it. Some things we are not going to be able to do anything about. Do you honestly think the people of Israel could have knocked those walls down by themselves? They had nothing. Nothing to work with. What are they going to do? Because we see what happens. And this is very important. And we're going to see this next week. When they get over to AI, old podunk AI. Little rinky-dink city. All right? One joker out of the whole of Israel decided not to do what needed to be done. And they get their bohonka stomped. That's what happens. Bohonkas. They get it stomped. Why? Who's the commander-in-chief? The Lord is. And I don't know how many times I've fallen in that trap. Where it's just, okay, Johnny, all you have to do is seek me and then do what I ask you to do. That's all I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you to fix this or take care of this. This is what I'm asking you to do. When Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you, you think that he just thought that sounded good? Oh, it's reality. But I don't know about you. So many times I miss it. Because you know why? I focus on this big wall. I focus on the hard task instead of the simplicity of, Lord, man, what do you want to do? 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 Lord, man, what do you want to do?